Are your grain bins keeping your grain in condition? More importantly, are your grain bins safe so that you won't have a grain engulfment or a grain entrapment issue? That's what we're talking about in this edition of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. This episode of Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Claas, where machines aren't just made, they're made for more. With a wide range of tractors, combines, foragers, and hay tools, Claas is a family business just as driven, demanding, and dedicated as yours. Go to Claas.com and start cutting your curve with their cutting-edge equipment. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve. I've got a great episode for you today, and it's something that could save your life. It could also make you money on your grain setup. You know what? Grain bins, they're all over. They're getting bigger. They're monstrous. Go to Matt Miles. Matt Miles has a grain setup that would be three times the size of an average grain elevator just two decades ago. Is the grain coming out in as good a quality as it was when you put it in there? That's question number one. Number two, if you have to get in your grain bin, is it safe? Are you going to die? Is one of your hired guys going to die? We want to prevent that from happening. I've got a great topic for you today because that's exactly what we're talking about. I've got Opie, CEO, president. I'm not exactly sure of his title, to be honest with you, but he's important. His name is Adam Weiss, and he's joined by Adam Gittins. Adam is with a company called HTS Ag. They are a dealer and installer of the Opie grain handling equipment. So we got them on here, joined by Matt Miles, who's almost fanatical about grain bin safety and grain bin quality. And then we got Kelly Garrett that's going to be putting in a system from Opie. We had this conversation at Commodity Classic. We wanted to also bring it to you now via podcast. So it's a great subject. What's Opie do, Adam Weiss?
Yeah, Opie solely does grain management. We've been in business for 40 years, pioneered the digital temperature and moisture cables. And so based off temperature, moisture, we automate fans and heaters to keep grain in condition.
Matt, your grain setup, I was there. It's massively big. You put up a part of it, then you expanded it. Did you put in their stuff when you built your bins?
Yes, absolutely. When I built my bins, I actually didn't have the dryer, so I built these bins in four stages, the dryer being the last thing I did. So extremely important, in my opinion, when you're drying higher moisture grain without any heat. So you're basically using our air to dry. So you really got to pay more attention to it. And then, of course, as the bins have gotten bigger, you know, you can control a 10,000 bushel bin or sample it even better than you can 120,000 bushel bin. So it's one of those things that once you've got it, it's kind of like a forklift. Once you've had one, you're like, how'd I ever get by without it?
Right. So talk about grain condition, and we're talking about then the safety part of it. So let's go in. They both go together, but what does this thing do? You're the one that puts them out there. Mr. Gittins, you're the one that puts this stuff in a bin. How does it work? How do I put it in? Why do I need it? We already kind of talk about why I need it. So kind of go from the standpoint of boots on the ground out in the field doing the
absolutely
work.
And, you know, I think it's important to note here, we talked about Matt's setup being very big. Opie has a solution not only for those very large bins. We work with customers like Matt up here in Iowa. We also work with even some commercial grain accounts where we're talking some really big setups. But we also can work with the very small bins. You know, even on my own farm operation, I've got an 18-foot diameter bin, holds about 3,000 bushel. And what it does, we put a cable down through the grain or multiple cables as the bins get bigger, and we're able to monitor moisture and temperature on that cable at preset intervals every 2 foot, 4 foot, 6 foot, whatever we decide on, depending on the size of the bin there. And that gives us the ability then to have a very, very good understanding of what's happening in the bin. But the even bigger step is we can automate the fans based off of a weather station. And so we can turn the fans on and off based off of actual humidity and temperature at the site. And we can significantly reduce run times of the fan while at the same time, we're able to get the grain in perfect condition.
Got it. get the grain in perfect condition based on the monitoring. So is OPI's system, the cables, as well as all of the mitigation, is it just the sensory, or is it then the remedy as well?
So we have the not only the sensors in the bin, but then also the automation where we're automatically turning those fans on and off. And it's all tied into a cloud platform where you can view what's happening in the bins. Yep. And you can make adjustments to the system and set it to do what you want it to do.
Go back to Matt before I talk to Kelly. Matt, I was on a stage at Ag PhD with your kid in July, and this is exactly what we talked about, was it's automated. It's probably technologically was a little bit too much all at once because it's one more thing to figure out, and I'm guessing now you wouldn't go without it.
No, I absolutely wouldn't from the day one. I mean, it's a little bit confusing when you first start, you know, but once you understand, if you know anything about managing grain anyway, it takes the worry out and it takes the travel out. Like Adam was saying, you can do all this from Hawaii if you're on vacation. You preset everything, and then if you don't like something that's going on or you want to change your target moisture, you know, you're able to do that there. They used to be, I don't know if they had them in the north, but sterols, Adam probably understands that with rice. They were in the older bins because they had to move the grain around to keep rice from staining. And majority of the bins in our area now have all the sterols took out and cables put in.
Interesting. So this isn't a corn and soybean thing, also rice. Staining. So it's not a matter of it's crust, it just stains. Is that the issue on rice?
Oh, yeah. That's another advantage if you're a rice producer. You know, your wife's not going to want to go to the grocery store and pick up white rice that's brown. Yeah. You know, any stain to it at all, they reject it. That goes to dog food or whatever. So you can mismanage your drying and put too high moisture in there, not put enough air on there, not do things right. And this system only dries when it's efficient for the grain that you have in there.
All right, we're going to go to Kelly. You're going to put this system in. What did you look for? You were without this? You got nothing? You got no sensory in your existing bins? Is that what I'm understanding?
No, we have never had a system like this. And, you know, the fall of 23 wasn't so bad, but in 21 and 22, I had some grain go out of condition and we had to move it before we really wanted to because it started to get hot in there. And you know, we were monitoring as best we could, but with a system, I believe we could have done much better. So we've had grain go out of condition in our large bins. And, you know, now I know Adam, you know, because he lives about a half hour away, and this really seems the way to go. I believe there'll be a big ROI.
Okay. So you're going to put this, go ahead. If it's okay to do this, because if we were at Commodity Classic, we had a whole bunch of farmers in the panel and the booth, we'd ask this question also. You just bring up ROI, and I want to talk about the safety some more, but I want to go to ROI at some point. So don't let me get away from that. Okay. Kelly's going to talk to us about the money. All right. Let's talk about, I'm putting this in, and it's going to prevent me from having to get in the bin. We said this before we hit the record button. I went to the Farm Progress Show when I was a kid, 16 years old, I think. It was like 1985, and they've got the emergency crew showing you how to pull people out of a grain bin and this whole thing. Don't get in grain bins. Don't get uncrusted. And these are like 10,000 bushel grain bins. And here we are with 10 times that big of grain bins as harvests have gotten bigger, yields have gotten bigger, farms consolidated. And somehow the problem's worse, Matt says. Adam Weiss, is the problem worse? Are we losing more farmers and grain bins than we did 40 years ago? It seems like it's something we sure as hell should have gotten better at.
Unfortunately, we are. We referenced a study Purdue just produced last year that shows a year-over-year increase of 40% in entrapment. And obviously that stat's going the wrong way. And with the technology that we have today, there's no reason for it. It shouldn't be. We can prevent it, but yes, unfortunately, it is going the wrong way.
Yeah, I got that stat here, that the talking points you sent. Is it just a matter of I should never get in the grain bin until it's down to the floor? I mean, isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, ideally, and zero entry is what we're pushing for. So, you know, even, you know, with proper monitoring and ensuring that you don't have out of condition grain, that'll keep the grain flowing. But then even once it gets down to the bottom, I mean, there's technology, sweep technology, that really can get you to zero entry. And that would be the goal.
All right. So I put in your system in an existing bin. I put it in a new bin. It doesn't matter. And you don't build the grain bins. You're only the system.
That is correct. Yep. We focus solely on the technology for managing grain.
Got it. I want you to tell me then about the ROI, Kelly. Before we do that, we put in the system. You can do it on retrofit. You can do it on a 20-year-old bin. Is it worth doing it? If I have a 20-year-old bin, is it worth doing this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Kelly's going to tell you a lot about the ROI there. But yeah, the ROI is the same, whether it's a new bin or an existing bin.
Got it.
Might Adam, look better on an older bin, honestly, because the equipment's not as up to date. So you need more help managing. You work on an old tractor more than you do a new one. So you definitely, I would think an older bin with the smaller fans and less capabilities than we have now would even be more important than a new bin.
Mr. Adam Yitten, is that true?
Yeah, I really think so. And in my own farm operation, we've talked about keeping grain in condition. We've talked about getting it to the proper condition and not having the spoilage. One of the other things that I've actually been able to do in my own operation, last fall, we harvested very dry soybeans. They went in the bin, 8.5% moisture, and I've actually been able to run the fans when it's ideal, when the humidity is a little higher, to put a little moisture back in those soybeans. And that is, that's pure profit when you can have a more closely desired moisture of your soybean delivered to the elevator than a really dry bean.
Lane Miles said that at the Ag PhD stage show that we put on about this very thing, that because of the OP system, knowing and what the moisture is, you can, on a humid day in Arkansas, which they have two of, they have two humid days in Arkansas, I think, you can turn the fans on and suck ambient moisture out of the air and boost it back into your soybeans. So that way your soybeans are not too dry and are at that, 13 to 15%, I think is what he's looking for. That actually happens, right?
Yes. In my operation, I'm shooting to get those beans up around that 12 to 13% mark. Our local soybean processor doesn't like them above 13. So that's what I'm shooting at. And when you can take them, even if I can only add 1 or 2 points to them, to take them from 8 to 10 is a huge improvement. And we've been able to do that and then some in my own operation. And that's where I feel like, that the beans I have, they're in a small bin. It's a little 3,000 bushel bin, but that's probably the bin that's going to pay me the biggest dividend this year.
Yeah, so we talked about that. You already mentioned it. And that was one of the things that you covered at the Commodity Classic was, these guys are large scale. We talk about Matt's got this. It's massive. It's bigger than a grain elevator, but it doesn't. You don't have to be big to make this work. In other words, if you've got a 3,000 bushel bin, you've got a fit for them, and it still is the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mr. Gittins, remember what I say? We're an audio type platform. Nobody heard you nod your head. You've got to answer audibly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big difference there is in a 3,000 bushel bin, we've got one cable down the middle and four sensors on it. And when we get to a 105-foot diameter bin, we drop 26 cables in it with, whatever length that is and however many sensors that works out to. But the system is very scalable, small bin to big bin and everything in between. We can fit a system into that.
All right, so I want to talk about how if I call you out to retrofit and like Kelly's going to do, and I'm talking about if we start new, and we're going to talk about doing the whole thing from soup to nuts. Before I do that, I want to talk about Nature's. Nature's is a company that we do some trial work here for at Extreme Ag. Nature's is focused on providing sustainable farming solutions and helping maintain genetic potential for your crops. High-quality liquid fertilizers from Nature's, powered by Nature's Bio-K, can be targeted at specific periods of influence. You know what? A year like this, you got down revenue. We're going to be down 25% year over year on farm incomes. Why not make sure you're maximizing your fertility investment? Don't go out there and be wasteful. Don't be more judicious. Put the fertility out when the plant is going to utilize 100% of it. Nature's can help you with that. By targeting periods of influence throughout the growing season via precision placement techniques as a means to mitigate plant stress, enhance crop yield, and most importantly, boost your farm's ROI. ROI. Kelly's all about that. He likes money. So do I. You're going to put this system in. Are your bins right now sensorless? Your grain setup right now has no sensors.
No sensors.
I was in one of your grain bins when I was there in December. Your kids thought it was funny, like somehow I don't know how to operate a scoop shovel. I had it. Then it was kind of Tom Sawyer thing. You probably don't even know how to run a scoop shovel. Next thing I know, Cheese is standing outside the grain bin drinking beer while I'm in doing his job. Anyway, I've been in your grain bins. How old are they? They're more than a decade old, right?
Yeah, 2010 and 2016 on that site.
Got it. And they have no sensors. Is it presented a grain quality issue for you?
Yes, it has at times. You know, you'll get, you know, the one bin is 160-foot, 100,000 bushel bin. The other bin is a 60-foot, 150,000 bushel bin. Yes, we have had grain go out of condition a couple of times, as much as I hate it.
Okay. And then it costs you money because the grain is, it goes in and you get docked because that's domatoxin or some damn thing. I don't know. What's it get?
Well, it gets hot and it'll spoil. You know, the aflatoxin typically doesn't come from going out of condition, but it can. But typically the corn will spoil and it can get rejected at the ethanol plant. Yeah. You know, 100,000 bushel bin to have a 5 or 10,000 bushel hot spot in the middle, you know, it's not hard to get a deduction on your grain ticket or on your settlement sheet. Worst case scenario, it gets rejected, and then you're going to have to feed it to cattle, or you're going to have to sell it to somebody. Just assuming $5 corn and a rejection, and then maybe you have to sell it for $2 a bushel to a cattle feeder.
Yeah.
8,000 bushel gets spoiled in the middle of a 100,000 bushel bin is not hard to do. 8,000 bushel, in our example there, we're going to go from a $5 per bushel to two.
Yeah, it's $3. Which is $3 on 8,000 bushel. You just took a $24,000 burn, and $24,000, I'm guessing I can put in an OPI system. Somebody's nodding their head. Everybody's nodding their head. Who wants to go first? Adam White.
Pretty dang close to putting in
Adam White started getting excited when we started running those numbers. So I just lost $24,000 on a $100,000 bin, and that's in 1 year with an 8%.
Yep.
I don't think that's unreasonable. 8% of the
bin. 8% of the bushel.
8% of the bushel bin. That's not reasonable, Matt. You're a grain handling guy. Is 8% of a problem in a bin? It seems high, but maybe not.
No, it depends on the year. It depends on the manager. It depends on a lot of different variables. Weather, you know, that's another thing. A lot of times we dry in conditions that are actually making us go in the negative. If we're doing it by eye. The computer system allows you, you know, I used to look at the temperature and then I'd get my, you know, my equilibrium and it figures all that for you, where I was screwing some of that up. And you can't, I mean, you can't in 100,000 bushel bin easily. Kelly's probably being a little bit conservative. I could see it being 10%.
Okay.
So the grain can spoil. And then the next thing, if you don't have the cables, you're going to over dry your bottoms. So if you've got 100,000 bushel bin, you're trying to get to 13%, manually you're going to dry 20,000 bushels or 30,000 of that down to 9 or 10% on corn. Do the math on that. Do the math on the spoilage. That's why this is such an easy thing for me to talk about.
Yeah, because we like making money, and we can talk about skinnier margins in a year like this. Well, skinnier margins, you'd say, well, don't spend money on a bunch of new infrastructure. Well, skinny margins also mean you can't afford to lose 8 to 10% or take a deduct on 8 to 10% of your held grain because of Adam Weiss, you were nodding your head. Go.
Yeah. In a bin the size of Kelly's, you know, you get a little bit of spoilage like that with no visibility in there. There's no way to tell. And it's just when you're taking it to the elevator, that's when you're going to get that bad news. You know, we were talking about the ROI. There's lots of aspects to this ROI, and Matt talked a little bit about it. But if you think about a monitoring system providing insurance for spoilage and then providing optimization to get you at the exact right moisture content and temperature for properly storing that grain for as long as you want to, right? So the great thing about having on-farm storage is you're not a price taker anymore. You're not just taking it to the elevator at harvest. You know, you're taking advantage of carry. But to do that, you got to properly and safely store it. You know, you can do like Kelly and frankly, like most farmers have done to this point, is doing what they've always done. Put it in the bin, turn the fans on for a couple of days. But without the visibility, you don't know. So that's the great thing about these systems is, you know, you catch a hot spot early, yep, before it spreads. You move that grain, blend it, then you optimize. So you can even put in, you know, above your target moisture, do natural air drying in bin, which is much more cost effective than using a dryer. And then maintaining and aerating, you're only running those fans when there's productive air to push in. So, you know, you got a lower power bill, lower fuel bill, and better quality grain.
Kelly's getting ready to say something.
Well, did you hear what Adam said right there? A farmer is going to do what he's always done. That's the most expensive sentence in agriculture.
Yeah, well, in every business. And I mean, we are in ag, but I don't want our followers, I don't want our listeners to think that we're bashing on them. Let's face it.
I'm not bashing on a listener. It happens all the time.
Most expensive words in agriculture.
We're going to do it. We continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. And when we put 20% in the corn in a bin, we worry about it. But the farmer has to understand he doesn't really worry about 10% corn in the bin. Obviously, 15 is ideal. That 10% corn from doing what we've always done and running those fans continually and overdrying, that 10% corn, because of the loss of moisture, the loss of weight, and the overspending of the electricity, can be just as expensive as the 20% corn that goes out of condition. So doing what we've always done is just as expensive as letting it go out of condition.
Yeah, that's a dead on statement right there. Your statement about letting it get too dry. Well, I think there's a big statement there, and we'll go back to Kelly on the money or Adam Gittins on the money. If you don't know, you probably tend to over dry, like it's the insurance policy, mm-hmm, right? Like, by God, you know what? I 2 years ago had a hot spot. We're gonna just you can make the case that in terms of ROI, a system, a sensory system like you're having, or a sensor system, I'm not sure exactly what you call it, you can pay for that real quick just on saved, not just the preventing of the hot spots, but also the over prevention when you just ran the fans and ran the fans and ran the fans. Because really, the safety and the grain quality, preventing getting in the grain bin and killing yourself, or the grain quality, it's all the same thing. It's prevention. And that's, in the old days, to prevent it, or if you didn't have any systems to prevent it, you just overran the stuff. Is that why you're perking up, Kelly?
Yes. I was doing a little math here. Grain, to me, shrinks 1.4% per point. So if we dry the grain 3 points too much, that's 4.2%. You know, you're 4.2% on 100,000 bushel bins, obviously 4,200 bushel. You're not going to dry all of it that much. Let's say you dry half of it, and there's 2,000 bushel that you've lost from over drying. If you drop half of the grain 3 points too much, and at the bottom, it's easy to do that. You'd be beyond that. So if we're talking drying that grain and losing 2,000 bushel in weight because you've overdried it, 2,000 bushel times our earlier example of $5, there's $10,000 right there. And that's in weight from taking that grain from 15 to 12. And I tell you what, I've done a lot of sweep augering of 12% grain at the bottom.
Well, Kelly, that's a great point. And on top of that, not only are you spending the money on the electricity to lose money at the elevator, you know, we see on average somewhere between 40 and 80% reduction in fan run times by putting the system in and automating that. We did a side-by-side trial last year, and we were able to prove a 37% reduction in fan run time on grain that was already in condition when it went in the bin. It went through a dryer first. And those types of numbers are just over
37%. You cut back fan usage, fan time by 37%. That's not every day of all year, but that still is every day for 6 months.
Yeah. So the fans, typically we don't need to run quite that much with them, but you know, you might run them for a solid month, depending on what you put them in. You want to get the grain cooled off in the fall, especially if it goes through a dryer. And so trying to get that cut down, you know, if you can take it from 250 hours of runtime, even to 200 hours, these are not small electric motors. They use a lot of electricity. They take a lot of money to run. And when you start talking about multiple fans on multiple bins, that just becomes a multiplier to how much money we're spending to effectively penalize ourselves, as Kelly was saying.
Well, and Adam, either one of the Adams probably got numbers on this, but when you're running them yourself, there's a certain, and I think it's fairly high percentage of time, you're actually going into the negative. You're using the electricity, and because of the outside temperature, you're not getting, you might be going up in moisture instead of down, but you may be just sitting still for 2 days and not doing anything. So, but paying the electric company.
That's exactly right. That's what Adam was saying, is you're paying money to get a lower quality grain and a lower price at the other end.
Which can be just as expensive as having it go out of condition. But when the fans run and the grower feels like he can sleep at night, which he can, but that's an expensive rest.
Yeah, and I want to go ahead and go into the money. And I think since we got the powers that be, we got the CEO of Opie here. So you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to ask about money, because, again, we want to make sure we provide the listener what they missed at Commodity Classic. All right. Everybody that's standing around the panel right now, everybody that's listening right now is saying, okay, we keep talking about the expense of a life is, you know, probably incalculable. You know, your hired man goes in and all of a sudden ends up in a grain entrapment. That's bad, obviously. But then also grain quality. And then talk about overdoing it, as Mr. Gittins talked about. You know, you've already dried the stuff. Now you've over aired it, and you've created the worst product that's going to have less value at the elevator, and you also spend a bunch of money to create that. Stupid. I want to put in one of your systems. I'm sold on this. How much? Can I do it on a per bushel? I'm assuming that on a per bushel basis, it gets cheaper the more you go. In other words, if I do like where Matt has 600,000 bushel bins or whatever they are, even bigger than that, that on a per bushel basis, the price goes down versus 3,000 bushel bin like Mr. Gittins is talking about. I keep calling you Mr. Gittins because there's two Adams on here, okay?
That works.
It's not out of any over respect for an Iowa guy. Let me just tell you that, okay? Anyway, Mr. Gittins, you're the one that's out there doing it. When I call you out to my farm, what do you tell me to expect money-wise?
So the first bin's the most expensive. We've got some infrastructure you got to have in place, a gateway that's going to talk to multiple bins. And then, of course, it depends is probably the easiest answer, because the taller the bin, the longer the cables, the more expensive the cables. The bigger the diameter of the bin, the more cables we need to be able to read all of that. But you could be looking at a system for, you know, several thousand up to tens of thousands when you get into some of these bigger sites. But, you know, on average, the first bin, let's call it around a $15,000 investment for, a medium-sized bin, something like what a lot of farmers are dealing with.
Well, what a medium-sized bin now, or compared to Matt's place, or compared to yesterday,
you know, what's a medium-sized bin? Yeah, 40 to 60? 48.9 ring, you know?
Yeah. And what's that? What's that bushel wise? 60,000, 50,000, something like that, maybe.
Depends on the height, 50 to 60.
Okay. Yep. So it's the best part of this. Then, yeah. So you can't give an exact number. I get it. You kind of lawyered me right there, Adam Gittins. It was. It depends. It depends. You know what? Nobody hates it. Depends when they want a price. Kelly, how much are you going to spend?
I think mine was about 23,000, wasn't it, Adam? If we looked at the full retail with everything, and mine, you know, I'm going into 100,000 bushel bin, right? We're going into the 150,000 bushel bin, and I have, it's my first one, so we have to put in the control system, things right. Like that. You know, the second bin will be less expensive because the it'll wire into the same control system.
Got it.
So mine's $20,000.
Once I begin the infrastructure improvement, subsequent ones get cheaper because I've already gotten. Yes. So Adam, either one of you, either of the Adams want to take that. So once I do one bin, then the second one, third one, they keep feeding off of the same thing. So I'm basically lowering, I'm lowering my incremental cost.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
What but else? I mean, on Kelly's bin there, if I did the math right, it's 15 cents a bushel. That's you're going to way more than say 15 cents a bushel. Plus, they make me all the time because I wear it all the time. I sleep like a baby at night during grain bin season because I know. And if the thing about it is, if it's not working, it alerts you. So it's not just, if you, it's not going to be you go down there a week later and, well, this the power's been off. If the power goes off, somebody's calling you or you're getting an alert that says, hey, your power's going off.
Yep. Yep. The other part of it, I think, when we talk about ROI or the cost, because I get it, you know, both Adams are reluctant to say a number because then if somebody calls it, well, you said on the Extreme Ag Cutting the Curve podcast, it's going to cost this much money. We get it. There's always externalities, whatever, running power to it. I mean, I'm sure there's all this stuff, you know, length of cables changes. I understand that. What do you tell people if they want to know when my payoff is? Matt Miles just threw out a number of 15 cents a bushel. I can pretty much see I can make 15 cents a bushel in my first year. I'm thinking, by golly, by the second year for sure. Do you tell people you're pretty much going to pay for this system after year one it's paid for? Because that seems to me that's not terribly unrealistic.
Yeah, I would say commonly in 1 year and for sure in 2 years.
Does that sound right, Adam Gittins?
Yeah, we've seen it over and over again. And it depends on the use case. If you're rehydrating soybeans, you might pay for it five times in the first year. If you're just trying to dry corn, it might take 2 years in a really extreme situation. Maybe it takes three. But between over drying the grain, between the fan savings, the electricity savings, and you know, as Matt said, the peace of mind is really worth something, I think, too.
Yeah. All right, so what did you cover, if anything, at Commodity Classic that we have not covered now? Is there anything that you talked about that came up there that we want to make sure that our listener is not missing out on?
Damian, one of the things I wanted to mention, we're talking price, so I think it's important that we cover. We have more than just, we've been talking about our absolute Cadillac system here, right? It's the full grain monitoring with full control, live view into a dashboard on the web. We have a lot of options for growers that are looking at something that maybe are a little more cost conscious and are wanting to have some idea of what's going on in the bin. I'm even down to the point of we've got some free options available on the Opie website. You can go in and look at.
Hey, Adam Weiss, did you not do the pre-podcast? We don't make any money on free. We you know, we can't stick around. We can't keep this business going for free. What's he talking about?
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to what Matt was talking early on about when he first got the system, how, you know, it was a little intimidating at first, but a lot of what we do is education. We think it's really important to provide, you know, this isn't rocket science, but there is some science behind how to manage grain. And so we spend a lot of time educating farmers and end users on what EMC is, how the system works, how fan warming affects the relative humidity of the air in the plenum. You know, all of this stuff is important to properly manage grain. Not only do we provide that education, but our partners like Adam at HTS Ag or AP Fab down in Matt's neck of the woods, they will educate and manage the grain for the farmer. So that's why we offer these tools. We want you to be educated and know how to use the system and what you're getting.
Adam Gittins, all joking aside, I when I made the crack there, you can't make money on free. I'm guessing what you're going to tell me is once we get farm operators better at understanding good management of grain methods, or God forbid, the guy in the next county over that got killed because he got in a grain entrapment situation, if we can help educate you, then you become a customer because you realize I need better grain management stuff and you can help me. Is that kind of where you're going with this? And then OP system is the next step after the free education?
Yeah, it's 100% right. If we can just simply help everyone understand how they can do better, the tools that we sell become critically important to that. And so there is that whole idea of a value escalator, right? We start with the free system. We educate you on the stuff. We help provide some tools to get you better at what you do. But we really view ourselves as a partner to come alongside farmers and help them do better at what they're doing and help them make money. Because then in the end, we all win.
Right. So once they get through the free and say, yep, it turns out I used your tool and it looks like I need this. And that's where they come. What else did you cover, or what else did you cover Commodity Classic, or did you want to make sure you covered here? Like Mr. Adam Gittins just said about the tool on the site. Is there anything else? Closing thoughts?
I would add one thing is that it's not a transactional sale. We sell you the system and leave you on your own. We're here to consult with you too. So if you've got a situation going on, you're not sure, if you should run the automation or if you should move some grain, or we're here to consult with you, and our partners like HTS Ag are there to help you manage that grain.
Got it. Kelly?
This is intensive management. You know, we now have an iPad hooked to the scale on the feed wagon for the cattle. We now have more monitors than I can count in the planting tractor, the combine, and the sprayer. You know, tracking everything that we do to make intelligent decisions on the foliar apps, the planting, you know, the GPS, if you will. And this is the next step in evolution, one that I probably should have made, that Matt Miles made years ago. This is intensive management of your grain system. Like they said, it's not a transactional sale. You know, we have a consultant on our markets. We have a consultant on the cattle feed. We have a consultant on the GPS, and here's a consultant for our grain bins to keep the grain in condition. This is one of the final pieces for my operation of intensive management.
Matt, you're the one that's got the most experience with the OP system.
Well, I was kind of almost laughing at myself because, you know, the first thing a farmer's going to say if he don't want to spend the money, and there's very few things anymore that we spend money on that we are guaranteed that we're going to get a payback on. It's not if, it's when. I mean, all of these things are so simple, but I was thinking about it. It's a big deal for us because we do raised beds. But when they come out with the RTK system, you know, we ran a marker. And, I can do that better than that RTK system. You know, when we had pipe planter, irrigation scheduling, I know how to set that water up better than that computer does.
Yep.
I lost. I'm 0-2 on that. So if you think you can dry as good as this can dry, you need to figure something else out besides grain drying.
By the way, both of your kids in the upcoming series that we're going to do with Nextreme Ag, that's the offspring of the Extreme Ag guys, Matt's kid Lane and Kelly's kid Vern, both of them talked about technology, and it's funny because they both referenced your exact thing. Kelly said about the iPad on the feed wagon, but Vern gave a different story. Vern had to bring him up to speed on using the iPad to make sure that the rations were correct and that the feeding was accurate for the cattle, et cetera, and they're getting the right amounts. And they also said that Kelly struggled with resetting the iPad. So I've heard a different version of that story. And I've also, go ahead, Kelly, yes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So the iPad for that feed wagon, when I'm supposed to be feeding, the screen is black. And when it's in the transitional phase, when he's supposed to be filling the feed wagon, it's supposed to be white. And when I don't push the right buttons when I'm unloading the feed, and then I pull back out the gate that he's open for me, he can see what color the screen is. And I can't always hear what he's yelling, but I can see the arms up in the air and the animation. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot to push that button. And so I get in trouble. I would, you know, Lane and Vern are both better looking and smarter than Matt and I. And so we're very proud of our sons because they are better versions of us in many situations.
And then when Matt just said that he's 0-2 going against technology, it's kind of like the old, was it John Henry that took on the steam shovel? If you know your fables, and the steam shovel won. Well, Matt Miles is the John Henry, but Lane says, you know, I keep bringing in the technology, and he says, Dad at first says that won't work, or I can't make that work. And he said, eventually it comes around. So he was more complimentary of your technological adoption than Vern was of Kelly. I should point that out, Matt.
Well, I want to adopt it. I just can't always implement. Adoption and implementation are two different things.
I tell people all the time, Damon, that one of the biggest mistakes I've made in my life, and I continue to do it some, is that'll never work, and it will never work on my farm. And every time I say that, it works on my farm.
But I am getting better, Damien. One of Adam's guys, John, called this morning to talk about setting up the system, and I said, you're talking to the wrong person. You need to talk to Vern. See, yeah. I'm getting better.
So this is our last point. First off, I can see that it's always a struggle. You know, we're not 18. You know, we didn't get born in the hand this an iPad when we were little, when we were babies. So it's different. Is this hard to figure out? Adam Gittins, you're the one that's out there putting these on. Is it hard? Is it really that much level of complexity? Technological? You know,
it is very complex technology that we bring into a very simple platform. Okay. And so that's where having a dealership like HTS Ag to partner with, where we can come in, set things up, and help coach and mentor our customers, train them on the system, and help keep an eye on it. You know, Kelly, we got your back on this. We're going to make sure that you are successful with it, because that's what we do.
Well, Matt Miles says he's a warrior. Matt Miles says he's a warrior, and it works for him, and he sleeps like a baby, and it's not just the Mick Ultra. So it must be working for him, because it works. It's keeping him. All right, Adam Weiss, without being a commercial, the point I'm going to make here is this. The safety is paramount, right? We don't need to be – that Purdue study that you talked about, 40% more loss of life because of grain engulfment, grain entrapments than there were over the last several years. That's not something that we – I mean, that's something that we absolutely should be preventing. And then secondly, I want to go to Kelly's point about money. He just said this is intensive management. You've done the work. You rented the farm ground or paid for the farm ground. You've got the latest equipment. You've got you and your hired hand or your kids or whatever it is out there. You maximize the crop and you get the most yield. Why piss away 8% of it by not having proper grain handling once it's actually in the system? And I think that's not an unreasonable number, what I just heard from the two guys with most experience, Kelly and Matt.
Absolutely, that's reasonable. And not even just piss it away, but why not even have the visibility to know what you have in there? You've done all that work all year long to get that crop into the bin, and then with no visibility, just sit and pray and hope it comes out good at the end. I don't know why.
Or to Adam Gittins' point, you're so anal retentive about making sure you're doing the right thing. You just go out and air it and air it and air it and air it until you've cost yourself money because you over electriced and over dried.
Yep.
I like it. It's a great topic. You made this more exciting than I ever thought it could have been, and I credit you, Adam Gittins. You've got all those credentials behind you, yellow certificates. I'm sure that it must be like something. I'm envious. And then we got Adam Weiss, who's the CEO of Opie. We got Adam Gittins with HTS Ag. He's the one that's going to be putting the system in for Kelly. So if you have questions about this, because you're finally realizing you need something like this, I think go to these two, because they're the ones that are putting it in. If you want to know what it looks like in a new install on a large scale, Matt Miles is your guy. Matt Miles, Kelly Garrett, Adam Gittins, Adam Weiss. Till next time, thanks for being here. If you want to take your learning to the next level, remember you can become a member of Extreme Ag for just $750 a year. On a dollars per acre basis, this is a spit in the wind, and it's worth it. You get access to guys like this to talk about things like the OP system and the question and answer platform. You get special offers. You could have gone to Commodity Classic for free, and you could have been at the panel these guys hosted, because Nature's, our business partner that I talked to you about a little bit ago, will pay for your admittance. If you're a member of Extreme Ag, they'll pay for you to go to Commodity Classic. Think about special offers like that. Also, you get trial data information at the end of the year from these guys and what they're doing. You'll actually see the numbers, and you'll know what works for them, what doesn't, and you can then extrapolate that and put it on your farm. See, $750 a year to become a member of Extreme Ag. Till next time, thanks for being here. Check out all of our awesome information. Hundreds of videos just like this, the Cutting the Curve platform. I'm sorry, Cutting the Curve on the ExtremeAg.farm platform. They're all there. Also, videos that they shoot out in the field talking about stuff that they do that you can apply to your farming game. ExtremeAg.farm. Till next time, thanks for being here. Extreme Ag is Cutting the Curve. I'm Damian Mason.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out ExtremeAg.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation. Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Kloss, where machines aren't just made. They're made for more. Visit kloss.com and start cutting your curve with cutting-edge equipment.